We are breaking of a boy statue 61. My name is Marvin Keane, my sister is me. My sister is not born.
Where were you born at?
I was born at Antlers, Oklahoma. That's down in the southeastern part of Oklahoma.
Where did you start scouting?
I started scouting at the Chilaco Indian School back in about 45.
Can you tell us how it was organized?
Well, it was a little different than it was today. Most of the responsibility was with the institution that sponsored the scouts. There wasn't any district offices and this kind of thing. Most of it was done at the state office.
How many were in the troop?
Oh, I'd say we had probably maybe 40 boys in the troop. And all of these were Indian boys from all over the country. The Chilaco had something like 80 some tribes that came out of the school there. So they really were kind of national Indian Boy Scout troop. They always have had in Alfred an age limit to scouting. For scouts, it runs about 10 and a half or 5th grade or 18. And of course, there's explore scouting. Once you get beyond 18, we can always go to explorers. And explorers are a unit of scouting that involves a specialty, like for example the one we have on the Choctaw Reservation is the Law and Order Post. So they specialize in the study of law and order.
What was the troop number?
Well, our troop number was 49 at Chilaco, and the reason we chose that number is that they way back in the time that the pioneers were going to California for the gold rush, but we felt like number 49 was a pretty good number. So our troop was 49.
Did you go on keeping scouting?
Well, I feel like it's an important thing to be involved in scouting, and it does give you an opportunity to help young boys and young men out, and I think it's one of the real worthwhile things that one can get out of life in terms of helping boys to become men and to be able to use some of the skills they have in scouting. So it's really a worthwhile thing. So I'll probably stay on for a while longer. I've had about 6 years in scouting, so it's been worthwhile.
It was not just in scouting
teachers? No, it has, and it's always been the khaki type clothes, and basically scouting has changed some, but not the dress. It's pretty much as it was back in the 40s. So that's something that really doesn't change too often much. Now, scouting itself has made a drastic change in that it used to be that boys would have to learn signaling, Morse code, and they'd have to learn tracking and all of this kind of thing. And for the past 5 years, well, these were some of the things they took out of scouting, but they're coming more back to that again because they found that boys like to learn to track by going out and tracking down an animal, or boys tracking each other. Certain kinds of, like, three rocks ran together, well, that meant that they went a certain way, or if you've seen a stick broken, overlooked, it meant that, that the person that you were tracking had gone a certain direction. So they got away from that for a while, but they are going back to it, and one of the requirements coming back into the new scouting program, well, I guess it's really the old scouting program, is signaling, where that you take two flags and you have to send a message with these two flags. And so the requirement now will be that a boy will need to send so many words per minute for the Morse code.
Does the Morse code have to be in any direction?
Well, Morse code would almost help you in the Navy, certainly, because it would take, and you'd already know it, and there are signalmen in the Navy, and they do use the Morse code. So it would be applicable to some jobs that you forced your people use Morse codes. So, and of course, there's the international Morse code where that that different countries use the Morse code. So, but it is a very practical thing.
What link were you in scouting?
Melvin, I got to life, and I've always been sorry that I didn't finish up because of the fact that I think being an Eagle Scout is really important to an individual. You take a boy that's been through the Eagle ranks, and he applies for a job, and another one applies, and they have equal qualifications, well then an employer will 9 times out of 10 take the Eagle Scout over the other one that did not have scouting or did not have Eagle Scout rank. But that's one thing I've always regretted, is that I didn't finish it.
Were you a scoutmaster or a cook scoutmaster?
Yes, Melvin, I was both a scoutmaster and a explorer advisor when I worked at Chilocco, and then when I moved to Ardmore, Oklahoma, well then I became a cubmaster for the First Christian Church in Ardmore, which had a pack of about 80 boys, which would be about 10 deans in this pack. So it was a fantastic experience because they really, the parent really got involved in the Cub Scout program at Ardmore. And this is basically what Cub Scouting is all about, is the parent and the boy being involved. Now, it's not so much the case when you get to be a Boy Scout. You can do a lot of things on your own, even though that it still involves, you know, parents, but at the same time, it's a more of an independent program. Whereas Cub Scouting, you can't even get a promotion in Cub Scouting unless your parents have signed off on it. So it is a, Cub Scouting is a parent scout activity.
When did you come to Mississippi?
I came to Mississippi in 1968, and I was around about 3 or 4 months before I got involved in scouting, and one day Cecil Farmer asked me if I'd be interested in being in his scout troop and helping him out. And odd thing about it is, after I was there about a month, well, Cecil said, would you take over the troop? And so I took over the troop, and I've had Troop 61 ever since.
How many boys were in did you start in 1968?
I think we had about 14 boys, and of course, if you really work at it, it's a program that will attract young boys from 10 and a half to, especially up to about 15. So we've had as high as, you know, 24, 25 boys in a troop at any one time. In fact, when we went to the 1973 National Jamboree, we had 24 boys in our troop at that time, and we took them. In fact, we earned the money to take the 24 boys to the Jamboree. And it's real exciting to do this because you have to know that you've got that much money in you, and you have to be sure that each boy has physicals and ready to go. And then we were gone for about 16 days to the, and of course at the National Jamboree you just see a city spring up overnight, because at the Farragut State Park, the year that Troop 61 went, we got there and we just set up a city overnight of about 50,000 boys. And of course, you know, like there was maybe 200 telephones near our camp, and all kinds of activities. And so it really was exciting in that we met boys from all over the country in seven foreign countries. The Choctaw boys had the most fun with the Chinese scouts that was from Taiwan. And we got acquainted with them, and they shared in some of their Chinese food. We just really had a good time with the Chinese scouts. And I think this is an exciting thing about boys going out and meeting other boys from different parts of the country. Then they can share each other's experiences, and sometimes you get experiences that really are enjoyable, and we really did enjoy the Chinese scouts. Melford, I'm not really sure, because the year and a half we worked to raise the money, I hardly saw my family because we were doing something almost every night, and the boys didn't get to see their family too much either, because we were either selling someplace or was having wrestling or was having a movie or anything that we could get to do, washing cars or whatever anybody wanted us to do that would pay us for it, we'd do it. So almost every night, Melvin was very much involved in this, and he knows that it takes a lot of work, and we don't mind work, but we worked for about a year and a half before we got enough money to really go. And it takes a lot of preparation in terms of equipment. Every scout needs at least two uniforms, and they, you know, we even help buy some of those. So it's really an exciting thing to do, but really a lot of hard work. So I'm not sure that whether we'll do that or not. But we have had enough money at times to send individual scouts to Jamboree. In 1977, Melvin went to the National Jamboree at Moran State Park in Pennsylvania. But it is a very difficult task to raise money in a rural area like this, because I recall that we had wrestling and had some pretty good wrestling names on our card, but we maybe had less than 65 people to show up. So you never really know whether you're going to make any money out of it or not. And I guess the most exciting time in raising money, we had Dorothy Moore, a singer that is now very popular throughout the country, and we had her to give a concert, and she gave of her time, and she gave a concert without charge to the troop, and we thought that was really an exciting time. And I guess we made the most money when we had Dorothy Moore here. So it really does involve a lot of work. So as far as working, we don't mind that, but you have to plan a year and a half, 2 years in advance that you're going to do this. And in 1981 will be the next national jamboree. So, who knows? We might do something about.
What is the difference between the national jamboree and the jamboree?
The national jamboree is sponsored by the Boy Scouts of America, and ordinarily would have only scouts from this country there. But they do invite scouts from other countries to be there. But the World Jamboree involves scouts from all the countries of the world. And of course, we were invited and had plans of several of us going to the World Jamboree in Iran until, you know, the country fell apart, and then they canceled the World Jamboree, and so we didn't go, and was very disappointed that we didn't. I guess the situation in Iran at that time warranted canceling the World Jamboree.
How many boys were going with you, going with them before the year?
There was three boys and myself from Choctaw. That's how many we planned, and we were going to connect up with the Southeast region, and this then would make a council group. So we had this all worked out, and it just didn't work out because of the situation in Iran. They did finally cancel the World Jamboree.
How old does the boys have to be getting the scout?
10 and a half or fifth grade up to 18. Now, if you're going out for a Negro Scout, you need to have all your requirements and everything finished before you're 18. You can have it all finished and checked out and everything, and the day you're 18, you can still receive it, but after that, they probably, you know, send everything back to me. But 18, they're pretty fussy about that, of making 18 the age of cutting off of getting the Eagle of War.
Have you gone on any camp in February?
Yes, we have gone on a number of camping trips just on our own, and we have won the National Camping Award several times. This means that you camp 2 weeks, 14 days and nights out of the year, and we've done this a number of times, and it really is good. I think the boys like camping about as much as anything in scouting. And at camping, they can earn more badges, merit badges, than they can at any other time, and especially at summer camp. This is why we've always tried to encourage boys to go to summer camp, because it's a time that they can earn merit badges that they can't earn back home. Especially, you know, the ones like the aquatic merit badges, the water merit badges, swimming and boating and canoeing and swimming a mile and these kind of things. It's pretty hard to earn those back in your home community. So if a boy goes to camp, then he has an opportunity to earn all of those kinds of merit badges.
Where are you going?
At Benachi, and Benachi is a camp owned by the Choctaw Area Scouting Council, and it's about 13 miles east of Meridian. It's really a beautiful setting, and this camp was donated by Brookshire Dairies, and it has about 500 acres in it, and it is a very exciting time. And we've always gone, we've always tried to hike all the trails. They have five trails in there, ranging from 5 miles to 20, isn't it? About 20 miles. And so we've tried to really hike all the trails as a troop. And you get a trail hiking award for doing this. And we've done that a couple of times, and it's really good to hike the trails because you see so many different things of nature in hiking the trails of Camp Camacho. We've seen rattlesnakes and deer and coons and squirrels and rabbits and all of those kinds of things, and all kinds of birds. So it is a real fine camp, and we would certainly encourage every scout to have an opportunity to go. And one nice thing about the Choctaw tribe, they've really probably spent more on scouting than they have many of the other youth programs, because many times they have sent us to camp, and the Bureau of Indian Affairs too has been very helpful in finding money to send boys to camp. And we really appreciate the support of the community and the council and finding funds for boys that can't provide funds for themselves to go to camp.
Where is the location of Camp Camacho?
The location is about...
How many Eagle Scouts are there in the tribe?
Melvin, since I've been here, we've had one Eagle Scout, and of course that was the second one that we'd had on the reservation. So I felt pretty proud that we have got one Eagle Scout out of our troop. Since we've had the troop, we've always got, you know, like a lot of first class and a lot of second class, but it's not an easy task to get a boy to be an Eagle. It's really something that the boy wants to do, and it takes a lot of extra work. Of course, an Eagle Scout has to do a community project, and this takes time, and he has to write it up and tell exactly what he done and how to help people and this kind of thing. So, Eagle Scout, once you got to an Eagle Scout, you know that you've done a lot of different things. You've earned something like 24 merit badges, and you've got a community project, and you've probably been senior patrol leader, and all the officers which a troop has. So, an Eagle Scout is well-rounded once he has reached the rank of Eagle.
How do the Scouts have their communities?
What's it?
How do the Scouts have their communities?
Well, the Scouts, first of all, has to be a good citizen before he can be a Scout. And the Scout Oath really says that he has to be a very good citizen in order to be in Scout. So that's one way, and then certainly that's an important way, is being a good citizen of the community. Of course, our troop has had what they call cleanup day, and gone out and cleaned up the roadsides and varied other places on the reservation. So a scout does help this community in many different ways, and certainly, as we pointed out, being a good citizen is helping the community.
What is the scout law?
The scout laws, a scout is trustworthy, loyal, happy, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, thrifty, clean, and reverent. That's the scout laws. And if a scout lives up to each one of those laws, then you know that he's going to be a good citizen. So you just couldn't help from being a good citizen if you could have the scout law.
Who sponsored the troops in Choctaw?
On the Choctaw Reservation, the tribe back several years back, or maybe three or four years back, decided that they'd like to sponsor all the troops on the reservation. So the tribe is the parent sponsor of every troop on the reservation. And I want to commend the tribe for doing a good job. They've never turned us down when we had asked for, you know, money or for them to do something for us. It was always been very good. So I think they are doing a good job. As we make them aware of scouts and scouters, then they even going to do a better job. Because many times you take people out in the community, doesn't really know too much about scouting, and it is the responsibility then of scouts and scouters to have an awareness program that they tell people about scouting. Yes, the Oklahoma may be the only one that doesn't have one. I'm not sure about that, but each of the six communities in this vicinity, down in Newton County and Kemper County, and the troops here in Neshoba County, or the communities here in Neshoba County, each of them have some kind of scouting activity. Like this community has an explore post, and they have scouts, and they have cubby. And some communities even have Girl Scouts. So I think we do have sufficient scouting in our communities, but we just need to make people more aware that we do have these things for scout needs.
What is the highest scout focus on there?
Highest what?
Focus award. Scout focus award.
What is the highest scout focus award?
Progress award? Mm-hmm. The highest progress award? Would really be the Eagle Scout. That'd be the highest scouting award. And of course, there's all kinds of awards for scout leaders. And this is something that's rewarding to a scout leader. Melvin, you're a young scout leader yourself. And as you go up the ladder in helping boys and helping in scouting, well, then there'll be all kinds of awards for you as a leader. And one of the things that I enjoyed doing is getting the scout training award. It's called the Scouter's Key. And as you complete varied stages of scout training, well then, when you complete all the stages, well then you get the Scouter's Key. And then of course, the highest award for a scouter in the council level is the Silver Beaver, and it's a very high honor to receive the Silver Beaver Award. And of course, an award that is very covenant and very desirable is the Silver Buffalo Award, and that's awarded at the national level. And very few men ever received this award because it is a national award. But, we have 2 to 3 men in our council receiving the Silver Beaver Award every year. It's a highly coveted award for the council.
Do you have a meeting on Monday?
We tried to hold our meetings every Monday at 6:30. And if we have it at 6:30, we try to have the parents to be aware that we'll be through by 8 o'clock. And we want the parents then to pick the boys up at 8 o'clock. So we very seldom ever run over the 8 o'clock period from 6:30 to 8 o'clock.
What do you do in meetings?
Well, we do varied kinds of things. Now, for example, last Monday night we organized a troop and got new officers, and then we had games, and a lot of times you'll work on the scouting skills such as knot time, the scout log and the scout oath, and just varied kinds of activities. We try to make it where we don't do the same thing all the time. So, and this is important to young boys that are in scouting, that they like to vary their activities. And so we never really do the same thing all the time. So the way we do this is that all the officers, which is called the Leadership Council, works out the program for each week. And it may be that we'll have a knock-down contest. Another time we may have, you know, a first aid contest. So it really does vary each time. It's not the same every week. And then sometimes we have a merit badge that all of us work on together, such as a citizenship merit badge. So maybe we'll all work that merit badge together. And that's just part of the meeting, but maybe we'll take a half hour just working on that particular merit badge. Now, there is a requirement for merit badges, like there's 12 merit badges that's required, like the first aid, the swimming, the emergency preparedness, and then the others are kind of like in school. You select certain courses that you want to take, but the state requires that you take certain other courses. So there are a certain number of merit badges that you have that is required and must be earned before you can.
Do you have any continuity?
Yes, Melvin, we do have a council meeting once a month called the Council Roundtable. And this is also where you go to get additional training. And they'll help you out for activities and suggestions for meetings for a month. And then the next month you go back and there's another round table. And of course, there are a number of us on the council, council meeting. So we meet once a month at the district level. So, there are meetings that you need to attend in order to have a good scouting program.
Do you think things you learn in scouting will
really
help you out in
the future? Yes, I do, Melford. I think that the things that you learn in scouting, such as, you know, citizenship and community. There is an air badge on the community, and there's merit badges on kind of a national level, such as the rural citizenship and the U.S. citizenship and the local community citizenship. So I think it does help you out in that you know something about the world besides just the immediate community in which you live. So I think it's good in that way that it's kind of an international program where that you learn more than just things that are local. And local things that you learn are important too, but you have a more of an international outlook in scouting than you do if you are not in scouting.
What kind of award have you got?
Melvin, I've received several awards as an adult scout. I've received the Scouter's Key, and I've received the Silver Beaver Award, and I've received the National Indian Scouting Award called the Francis X. Gardeby Award. And this is an award that is given to Indian people that has had 15 or more years experience working in an Indian community with Indian scouts. So it's a very nice award, and it's something that under a plant ahead.
Where did you get this Francis Gardner Award?
I got the Francis X. Gardner Award when they held the National Indian Seminar on Scouting at Pearl River here in 1977. And this is an organization made up of Indian people and Indian scouters across the country and Indian scouts. And they meet once a year, and basically you come together to work out, you know, different kinds of problems that Indian communities are having with scouts. And then, of course, the exciting thing is that you meet, you know, scouts from all over the country, and you get to know them, and it's kind of a lifetime friendship, just getting to know the scouts from other parts of the country. And these would be Indian scouts from almost every reservation in the country. And this past year we went to the National Indian Seminar on Scouting at Pine Ridge, South Dakota. And of course the 1981 is going to be held at Tahlequah, Oklahoma. And I'm fortunate enough to be the chairman of this seminar, and I'll be chairing the 1980 seminar at Tahlequah.
How many boys went to South Dakota?
Well, we had both boys and girls go, Melvin. Girl Scouts are involved in the National Indian Seminar also, and from here we had 14 scouts and six adults. And of course we had Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts and explorers go along with us. So our reservation was well represented at the National Indian Seminar on Scouting. And we are fortunate that we have a tribe that does and is concerned about, you know, the young people having experiences that a lot of young people don't get that they're not in the most
fortunate.
The
visit there was many Chinese and
Canada.
Are there any other scouts in
other
countries?
Yeah, they, almost every country in the world, Melbourne has scouts. They even had Filipino scouts at this one jamboree, and they have Russian scouts. So virtually every country of the world has scouts. Now, it may be called, you know, something besides scouts, but it'll have the same kind of training and everything as scouting has. Like the Canadian scouts are called trailblazers, but they're still scouts. We know them as Canadian Scouts, but they're national titles, trailblazers. And of course, Girl Scouts have, you know, an international flavor too. Now, scouting got started back in 1908 by Lord Clinton Powell of England. And what happened is that
who find this kind of book?
Lord Clinton Powell of England. The reason he found scouting more than 75 years ago is that he saw one night an elderly. It was a very bad night in England, raining, cold winter. Saw this young man helping an elderly person across the street, and so this started the scout movement, and it's more than 75 years old.
I've heard some of that from the
That is the scout motto, do a good deed daily. So if all of us, whether we were a scout or not, did a good deed daily, then the world would be good.
you taking care of the boys and girls and being the fourth guy and the first guy?
Yes, I would, Melvin. I think that, you know, the movement is a great youth organization. It's one of the largest youth movements in the world. And it does have a national flavor and an international flavor. So there's kids all over the world as long as they're scouting units, and whether they're, you know, Chinese or black or white or whatever color they are, it kind of falls away when you're a scout, because you really don't, as a scout brother in scouting, you don't really see that color of whether a person's an Indian or Chinese or Japanese or whatever it is. And I think it really makes it worthwhile, because this summer we had a beautiful time with the Canadian scouts. They were at the National Indian Seminar on Scouting. And they just showed us a lot of their customs and the way they lived and this kind of thing that we couldn't got anywhere else. So it was an exciting time, and we met somebody from a country that even we know very little about, in terms, even to us, their neighbor to the north, so they sometimes know very little about Canada. Well, I think that scouting is here to stay. I think it'll be around a long time, as long as there's a boy wanting to be a scout and a man wanting to have boys. So then I think there will be scouting for a long time to come. And it is a good organization to do. Thank you.